This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grahader.
We are inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio, and we are pleased to have as guest Carter Sampson. Carter, welcome.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
And Caleb Rose.
How you doing?
Who said he was going to stay mostly quiet, but we're going to make him speak a little bit. Carter, a wonderful singer, songwriter, musician. Four CDs out, right?
Yeah. Three studio albums. Three studio. And a live one. I'm getting ready to think about doing a new one.
The most recent came out on 11-11-11.
It did.
Mockingbird Sing.
Yes.
And I have to ask you about an amazing song on that CD called Sanctuary.
Yes, thank you.
It's almost a perfect song.
Thank you.
Everything works.
Wow.
I love, in the song, the singer, you, the narrator, kind of lists things that would make for a life.
Yeah.
And I want a baby, a silver bullet trailer, garden, library, room full of guitars. Does this strike close to home? Is this Carter's?
Definitely. That's my wish list. Yeah, I was sitting out when I lived here in Fayetteville and just looking out the window. It was beautiful. We had a cow pasture behind us and I was thinking how lovely it was, but how much better it would be if I had all those things too. So yeah,
it's an interesting song because it's upbeat, but it's also a bit not melancholy, but a bit wistful because the singer is saying, "I don't want to grow old here.
Right.
I want to do more."
Yeah, exactly. And that's how I feel. I love Fayetteville. I've really enjoyed my time here, but I'm kind of an adventurer. I love to travel and see things and explore new places. So yeah.
Well, you mentioned the traveling. I read that you would perform in subways in Boston.
Yeah.
Were you living in Boston at the time?
I was. When I was in my early 20s, I moved to Boston and played in the subways. And it was a really interesting experience, A, because I was so young and really only knew about five songs, which was perfect because you had a new audience about every minute. So it was a great experience. It really was a good way to start playing in kind of a judgment-free zone. You know, if people didn't like you, they'd just move on. But if they did, they'd leave you money or a weird little note or, you know.
Why subway? That just seems like such a random place.
Yeah, well, you know, in bigger cities, that's just kind of the thing. Mm-hmm. And in Boston, pretty much every subway station, there is a performer of some sort. And just some crazy thing that I always wanted to do, and so I did it.
Does it mess with your acoustics very much in, like, that rounded area?
Yeah, and I had to learn, you know, to not play during game days. Like, if the Red Sox were playing, forget it, because when the game got out, it was just, you know, crazy drunk people flooding the subway station. And cold air, like, when the train would come through, it would rush this blast of cold air when it was the winter months. And so I made these little gloves that I cut the fingers off so I could still play guitar.
And that's the antithesis of playing someplace like the Blue Door in Oklahoma City, where the whole goal is people come in to hear you.
Yes, yes, which is a really amazing feeling. And I'm, you know, I've been noticing that things happen in the right time, at least they have for me. And, you know, when I was 21 and playing in the subways, I wasn't ready to play at the Blue Door yet and did just a few years later. But now it's a really great feeling to be able to walk into those places that I've admired and gone to see so many artists play in that now I get to play there. Makes it that much better.
The song Queen of Oklahoma.
Yes.
You name check Woody Guthrie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming it's Wanda Jackson.
It is Wanda Jackson, yeah.
As well as Will Rogers and Wiley Post.
Mm-hmm.
There's quite an affection in that song for Oklahoma.
Yes.
So here you are, someone who likes adventure, but you still have...
Well, it's my home.
I know.
Yeah, it's... Where I was born and raised in Oklahoma City, and I'm, I think, fifth or sixth generation Okie, and you know, my mama still lives there, my brother, and it'll always be a very special place to me, for sure. There's recently this new sense of pride in the city and really the whole state. Everybody walks around in their Okie t-shirts and their, you know, bumper stickers, and it's really neat.
Sounds somewhat similar to what's happening here.
It's, yeah, it really is. And I think because of that, you know, there's more music and there's more art and there's funkier stuff going on in both places. It's nice.
And I understand there's a lot of musicians in your family tree.
Yeah, there are. My dad plays guitar and pretty much taught me how to play. And my mom sings in the church choir and has my whole life. And my grandmother was a pianist, and I'm a cousin of Roy Orbison. And so, yeah, there's lots of music there. I'm lucky.
The song Jesus is Coming to Ohio is one of the most ominous songs I've ever heard.
Sort of evil.
Okay, I'm not misreading it.
Yeah, it's a true story. It's not, I promised my mom that anytime I played that song, I would tell people what it was about, because it's from my point of view, but it's not about my family. I heard, I think the TV was on in the other room, and it was the History Channel, and they were talking about cult leaders, and there was one small cult, I don't even remember the guy's name, but his main thing was that he was convinced that Jesus was coming to Ohio. And I heard that phrase, and I really put it down what I was doing. I said, that's a song. And so I wrote it from, and it, you know, it's based on a true story. I don't know all the details, but yeah, he moved in with a family. And I just, it was fascinating to me because I've never been to Ohio, and I'm sure it's lovely. They have the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and who wouldn't want to go there? But why Ohio, out of all the places on the earth that Jesus would come to? I don't know. I'm going to have to go check it out.
Well, that song, every time I hear the beginning, it makes me think of dark storm clouds coming up. I mean, it's just nothing good's happening to the people in that song when you hear that blues riff. Nothing at all. And I'm also wondering, because the sound on the latest CD, Mockingbird Sing, which was released in late 2011, there's so much going on there. It sounds so good. Caleb, this is the one I want to bring you in, and because you've got the electric guitar going on in there, and you guys are working so well with the bass and the guitar. Recorded at East Hall. What was the process of getting ready to do that, to get all that sound together?
It's actually really interesting. The process for getting ready to do it was we all kind of got together in a room at East Hall and started practicing. We had, what, maybe two or three practices before we actually went in and started a roll tape.
Yeah.
And it's actually one of the first records that was cut at East Hall that was done on the new 2-inch analog tape machine there. And Chris Moore, who owns East Hall and plays bass on the record, wanted to try to do the record as live as possible. So we actually put Carter in the control room, and then myself, Chris, the bass player, and Jared Dunn on drums played out in the main room. And you know, we would go through the song 4 or 5 times each and take the best cut out of it. So it was actually one of the easiest records I've ever helped cut, because we just, everything was just so seamless. And when you play with high quality musicians like Jared and Chris, then they make it a lot easier.
And it was on Reel to Reel?
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Yeah.
The idea there, is it richer than digital?
I mean, without trying to sound like an audio snob, I guess, I think it does. I think that it's more, the term I always use, and I'm not sure it's the right adjective, is more organic.
Yeah.
It sounds like you're in the room with the recording instead of, you know, a bunch of ones and zeros that have been squashed down.
There's a lot of tricks in a studio these days that you can make anybody sound like anything, really. It's amazing, and I wanted to get as far away from that as possible. So there's no, all the drums are real drums, and all the vocals are real vocals. They're not auto-tuned, and that was important to me. It was great that it just kind of came together like that.
And you're heading back to the studio soon.
I'm thinking about it. Yeah. I think my next album is just going to be me and a guitar. It's something that I haven't done in a very long time. And, you know, I love playing with the guys. I love playing with the band, but I don't get to do it as often. You know, when I'm out on the road, it's pretty much solo or duo. So I'll often have people want to buy a CD, and they'll say, which one's the most like what you're doing right now? And I don't really have a great representation of that. I have one that I think is better because it has, you know, 7 instruments and harmony vocals. But I'm going to get back to that just kind of raw singer-songwriter thing that is what drew me to music to begin with.
The RV is new?
The RV is brand new.
Do you have Dolly Parton on the dashboard?
I do.
Okay.
I do. Dashboard Dolly. She's been Velcroed with industrial strength Velcro to the dashboard.
If you follow Carter on Instagram, you see the different places you go.
And yeah.
With Think Big emblazoned on her.
Yes. Yeah.
Why Dolly?
I love Dolly. Kay. She's one of my...
I mean, why not? But
my favorites, yeah. Actually, my a good friend of mine bought me this little... it's a small bust of Dolly Parton, and it's real cartoonish and weird. You know, she's big hair. And it says Think Big on it. And so my best friend gave it to me, and I just put it up in my dashboard because I thought it was funny, and now... It's nice. It's nice to have that when I'm going on 3 hours of sleep and driving to a gig, to have her tell me to think big is helpful. Oh, and okay. It's good for photo opportunities.
Yeah. Should let people know your website is cartersampson.net.
Yes.
And you can find all sorts of things there, include a Queen of Oklahoma tote bag.
Yes. And we are releasing a Queen of Oklahoma music video this Friday. So follow me on Facebook and Instagram. And you can also sign up for my mailing list at the website. And we'll get you linked up to it. It's really cool. I'm excited about it.
Just to let people know, May 24th, the Movie Lounge in Fort Smith. June 8th, Landry's New Orleans Cafe in Fort Smith. And June 9th, Krabby's back in Rogers.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to play a couple songs?
Yeah, I'd love to.
What are you going to play?
This is the first song off Mockingbird Sing. It's called Be My Wildwood Flower. Caleb's going to play and sing along, too.
Sun comes up over a dirty skyline, and I got you on my mind.
Carter Sampson, along with Caleb Rose, inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio. The song they played is titled Be My Wildwood Flower. You can find it on her CD, Mockingbird Sing. And just this morning, she released her new music video for her song, The Queen of Oklahoma. You can see it by going to her Facebook page. And again, you can learn far more about her and hear more of her music at cartersampson.net.